Hello, I'm Nolan Giles, and you are listening to The Big Interview. My guest today is Agnès B, the iconic French fashion designer whose brand is one that is synonymous with chic and effortless Parisian style. Since its formation in the 1960s, she has grown her label to international cult acclaim, creating French fashion staples such as the Snap Cardigan. Despite her fame, Agnès remains a low-key character, today piloting her fashion label and driving philanthropic endeavors from her base in the French capital. It's here that I am pleased to say I meet with Agnès today. Agnès B, welcome to The Big Interview, and thank you for making the time to join Monocle here today in Paris. I know you're a busy woman. We were just talking about that before. You're heading up some 300 Agnès B shops, working on 4 collections a year, employing 2,200 staff, and that's just on the fashion side of things. You're also a celebrated philanthropist, a filmmaker. You're clearly a person of many things. But I'd just like to wind back the clock just a little bit to when you were 20 years old here in Paris. You were divorced, you had a pair of twin babies already, and you were just beginning your career in fashion. I'm really interested to know, for you as a person, you know, what has changed and what's remained?
I don't think I changed, first. And at that time, I had to manage with these two children. And I wanted to be a museum curator, but I couldn't do what I wanted first. When I was 15, that was my idea. But finally, I was divorced and I had these children, so I had no money. And Elle magazine noticed me as a person dressed in a very peculiar way, because I was dressed at the flea market or Prisunic. I had no money, so. And I had a special look, maybe. That's why they took me to work to Elle magazine for 2 years.
What were you wearing?
Before the time, maybe it was, I was wearing a military jacket and petticoats and Western boots. People were not dressed like that at all at the moment. But I was interested in London, like all young girls in France, you know, because London was a very exciting city. We loved the music. And fashion was with Mary Quant in the 60s. That was in the 60s, I must say. And there was Mary Quant, there was Biba, there were many places. We were fascinated in Paris, young girls, by London, I must say. I started to do the shop long time later, Agnès B, under my name, after having working for different companies like Cacharel or people like that. And we did the first shop in 76. And I continued to be the only stylist of the company till now. I have no studio. I can't put my name on something I didn't design myself. Maybe it's an illness or maybe it's, I don't know, but it's like that. So that's why I work a lot. But I love my work.
And back then, I mean, it must have been quite a liberal and exciting time to be in Paris in the 1960s. And I imagine for you, it would have been, you know, happy, but also quite an emotionally trying time. You know, what did you really learn in that development stage about yourself as a creative person?
I wanted to do simple clothes. You couldn't find simple clothes. It was too many things, too many buckles, too many... I was working for Pierre Dalby. They asked me for one afternoon to design pockets, for instance. So I started to do so simple clothes. They were pockets, but simple shape. Simplicity was not at the moment trendy, but we did workman clothes. I went through the workman clothes. We don't know who designed that, when it was designed, you know, the white wrong collar for painters. I went to this factory, they were making this sort of clothes, and I started from the beginning to do this unstyled, almost unstyled clothes. And I dyed them in my own colors, and I did the striped t-shirts and a very gauze petticoat, which was incredibly successful right at the beginning. So the press supported me always because I've never been advertising. Till now, I've never advertised. So it's a very special story because I think it's rare not to advertise now. It's my honor. I'm from 68, you know, this sort of culture. We were against advertising at that time, and I'm still. Sorry.
You were very much of that 68 generation, yes. Like you say.
I was in the street. All my children were 8, and they were at home with other children, and I was in the street a lot. And they were playing students and police at home with their friends.
And if we just move away from fashion then just for a second, I mean, you talk about that almost like being politically active at such a young age. Are you still like that today?
I'm very interested in politics. I read Le Monde since I'm 17. You can watch history of my country, of our country, of our world. I'm very scared by Trump now. I can't sleep at night when I think of him. I'm very scared of Trump. And it's like history. And I hope we are not right.
It's a very big year for France this year with the elections coming up. But I'm really interested to hear from you you've been involved in French culture through your work for so long now. If you had a voice to speak to people on this platform that these politicians who are campaigning at the moment do, what would you like
We need honesty, talent, imagination, and fairness. And that's what we need. So who is going to have all this? I don't know yet. We'll have to vote. But it's really complicated right now.
But you do see.
But I think we had Hollande, and Hollande was great. Hollande is still there for 2 months, but happily we had him doing what we spent the last 4 years. I like Monsieur Hollande.
Well, let's move it back to fashion and to your brand. You know, what I'm really interested in is Agnès B., as a brand and you yourself as a person and the spirit of you, how much of that goes into your clothing? How much of you do we see on the runway today in your shops? You know, how much of your personal spirit is in the brand?
It's completely me, because what I want is always make people happy with my designs. I like to have a practical spirit, you know. I know the women's life or men's life. You don't go back to change. In Paris, people don't go back to change, for instance. So I work a lot on the fabrics. They shouldn't get mush, ugly. You know, it's always has to be nice and clean. And the quality of the materials, I'm very suspicious about that. So everything, I'm very sincere to my customers because I completely depend on them. But I want them to be really happy with what I do, always.
You started off very small and the label has grown, you know, it seems almost like organic in the way that it's grown and you've taken quite a casual approach. I was reading through your book some stories about how there was wild birds kind of flying around.
Yeah,
your,
it was
your
like
first
that.
Boutique.
Born in the shop too. Yeah. They were born in the, there was almost 36 birds and almost were born in the shop.
Your first fashion show, was it just held in your apartment with your friends and things like that?
Mm-hmm.
How much of that sort of laid back, casual approach to fashion can you take today? Because fashion just seems to move so fast. It's such big business, such huge industry.
I don't like fashion. I always say that. I like clothes, but I don't like fashion because fashion gets unfashionable right after. So I'm not very interested, but I have always to make new things. But I prefer give the trends instead of following the trends. I never look at a trend book, never. So my job as a stylist is to create trends. And it happens, really. We just dressed Jane, the young French singer. She won the Victories of Music. And she had my black and white dress when she started last year. And this dress now, you can find it in the market. You know, the same ID you can see everywhere. Even on TV, women are with a round white collar. It's traînée de poudre. It goes quick. And after, I have to do something else. And I love to change. I love to have new ideas. But it's always quite discreet. It's not something you keep for once and then you don't wear it anymore. I like to have clothes you can keep for a long time and mix in other ways. And it's always like that.
And there have been some iconic pieces within your brand for a very long time now. You've got the striped shirt with the long sleeves, of course, the snap cardigan. Mm-hmm. How do these pieces inform what you do in your current collections, but also, you know, how much do you kind of hang on to the legacy of that in your brand?
I keep the, for instance, the Snap cardigan. We have different shapes. We have the 12 years old. It's called the 12 ans. And the girls, they wear it as too small for them, and they love it. You know, it's evolving always, but we have the classic one, and then we have new ideas around the Snap cardigan, which is very, very famous in Japan and all the places where we have the shops. And but I think there is something interesting in my work is that Tarantino, David Lynch, these people I admire and I like very much, they took my clothes for their films, like for Reservoir Dogs, for Pulp Fiction, for Tarantino. Harvey Keitel, he still has his Agnes B. jacket full of bullet holes because he was killed with the jacket in the film, and he still has the jacket. So it's because my style is not too fashion. That's why the filmmakers like, even Godard has some clothes of mine in his films. So it creates great relationship with these people. For instance, David Lynch has his new film. He sent me a note saying, I'm all dressed by you in my film, which is for me a pleasure. And he says, you have been dressing me for 25 years. And yes, I say, I know, but I love it. He's a great person. And David Bowie too, until he was dead, you know. He had this khaki t-shirt with a black star, and the name of the album is Black Star. So even Jimmy King, his great assistant, wonders if it's because of the t-shirt the name of the album is. He was such a fabulous person.
And you are also, you're involved in filmmaking and you sponsor film events. But what for you is that marriage between film and fashion? You know, why do they come together so well?
No, because I'm a stylist. You can style many things. And even I did my own film because I wrote the story a long time ago and it was written very visually. It was like a novel, short novel. But the film is exactly the novel. And it was in Japan until last month, I think, for a year and a half in the cinemas in Japan. They recognize something sincere, I think, because this film is really, it's not my story, but I know what I'm talking about. It's about a girl abused by her father. She escapes from the house. And now it's on DVD. We have it in DVD. If people are interested, the name is Je m'appelle And with Douglas Gordon acting, the great Scottish artist, great friend of mine, is acting in the film, a very important role. So it's a film I did with some friends, with Sylvie Testu. She's a great French actress. And, well, we can talk about something else than my film, but if you talk to me about cinema, I have to, because it was selected for Venice Film Festival. It was the first world screening.
And the reaction to that was quite an emotional reaction as well.
It was a beautiful reaction. People were standing up in the big cinema in the Lido. I was so impressed. And the director of the festival was having a big smile. He was a little suspicious, I think, before the screening.
You can play an influence in creative people's lives and you can help them either through your own network or financially. You have always championed great young artists, emerging artists. What motivates you to do that, to get behind young creative people?
I see what jumps to my eyes, you know, in the streets, in New York, or I receive proposals from young artists. I discovered a lot of them, in fact, like Ryan McGinney. I was the first one showing his work, this great young American photographer. Or Harmony Corrine, who is a great friend of mine. He's going to have a show in Beaubourg next fall. I'm never disappointed by someone whose work has been jumping in my eyes, like Bast or Fell in New York, or Kiar, Craig Costello, he's a great graffiti artist. So I happen to know being confident in my eye. It took time, maybe, but I have the Gallery du Jour since 1983, which is by Beaubourg, Rue Quincampoix in Paris. We are making 6-7 shows a year. And we do Paris photo, we do Kyotography now. I'm showing pieces from my collection in Kyoto next month. I have a very diverse collection. I'm interested in different style of art a lot. I was raised in Versailles and I'm interested in graffiti, since the graffiti I saw on the stones in Versailles, and now it's It's on the walls everywhere, and they are great artists. I am now the president of the Hip Hop Center in Paris, in Les Halles. They choose me all because they know I love this art.
And you're releasing a book with your collection of art, well, part of your collection. Yeah. You're releasing this in volumes, and I've been lucky enough to see it, and there's, you know, such a wide-ranging collection in this book. What is it about this work that really threads back into your garments and your fashion? What is it from that you take from all of this art that you're absorbing all the time?
Yeah, I do a lot of artist t-shirt. I've always been doing artist t-shirt. I do with many artists, and it's my way to disperse art, like the Point d'Ironie, the free newspaper I publish with different artists, with Anne-Sulrie Chobris and Christian Boltanski. We had the idea 10 years ago to do this, and I decided to do this free magazine, and people like it very much. But I'm very active, I'm very greedy. I think I'm a greedy person, greedy of life. Je suis gourmande de la vie. And I love people, and I want people to be happy around me, so I do what I can, as much as I can. Sometimes I feel like earning living for different, not only for me. I earn living for different people, which is my pleasure.
And one of the other areas that you're championing where you can have a really big impact is in French manufacturing for fashion. And from what I understand, around 40% of your garments are actually manufactured here in France, which is a big amount for such a huge company with such a global reach. And you're also, you know, a very fierce advocate of the importance of the heritage of manufacturing and fabrication here.
We have to hold our country on that side because we have great places and for different things, but many things are closing, and it's too sad because everything is going away. So it's my responsibility as a French designer to manufacture in France as much as I can. But we do things in Italy, in Europe, in Morocco, in Tunisia. The work is more expensive in France. So we balance with different countries, but always with a very ethic attitude and vision.
And you're actually visiting these factories in France. Do you think there's more of a story to be told here? Do you think the French government does enough in promoting this talent that they have here and this, like, you know, like
we have
heritage?
To do better. I'm sure we have to do better.
How can you do better?
Yeah.
What would you do if you were in
charge? They have too much charges, so we are not competitive. But we have talents, so we have to hold these talents and keep them alive.
And how does that come across in your clothes, do you think? When can you pick up a garment and say, you know, I can feel the quality of what I'm paying for because of this heritage?
Because we can go, we work closely with the ateliers, you know, we go there, we exchange, we work together, so we keep the quality as I like it. Because a jacket can be awful, made in a wrong way, and it can be beautiful if it's done a good way, so...
Your brand, you know, has an international reach. You can find your shops from London to Singapore. But what is it in particular about that city? You said it was an inspiration from the beginning, London.
Yes, because, yes, when I was 20, London was very important. It was the only place. It was the place, I think. And what was influencing me too very much was the British cinema of the 60s. Because I could see there a great freedom of talking, or like Accident by Lozé, for instance. The way they talk in this film, they couldn't speak like that in France. Nouvelle Vague was more shy, more maybe very poetical, because I love French Nouvelle Vague. But British cinema was more free, I think. Maybe the London way of behaving was different from Paris. They were more, I think, free. You can see that in Ken Russell's films. But I always went to cinema. I always loved cinema. And cinema is like literature. It's influenced your way of thinking, of course. And I was interested very much. I'm still... I like difference. I like the difference, which is, en ce moment, they don't like the difference in France. I like people to be different. I like to... In the company in Paris, we are people come from different countries, origins anyway. And in London, it's the same. I was watching something about the Indians in London and the way you are better to take people to your own way of life. In France, it's too separate. In London, I think it's more harmonious. But I'm happy about the way the Parisians act. I'm proud of the Parisians because they keep alive and they go to the bars, they go outside, and now you can see everyone at Café Terrasse. No one is feared. No one has peur. No, we are not feared.
So what can Paris learn from
Paris
the rest of the world?
Paris is beautiful with the spring. I love to be there. So I have Paris Je T'aime. It's a new T-shirt by L'Atlas, a graffiti artist I know for 10 years. I just gave it to Patti Smith, the T-shirt. 2 days ago, she got a medal, and I gave her the T-shirt by L'Atlas, Paris Je T'aime. She loves Paris, too. But we need tourists, you know. We had 3 million less tourists last year in Paris, so it was a very bad moment. But now I hope people are going to come back. Please come back.
And what can you do as a creative person and a designer in Paris right now? How can you help the city?
Saying things like that. It's my responsibility to say that Paris is great, I think. We need these tourists. There are so many things to see in Paris, like in London too. I always go to London, to the museums, to shows. There are so many things to see in these cities where culture is so important.
So we have in front of us a book that you are about to launch in English, which is a reflection on yourself as a designer and a look back over your career and your influences. And I guess it shows this like stylistic language of you. What is it? What is this language you've created?
I hope I created the language. I'm not sure. There are a lot of photographs I've been taking. There is something about the film, about my finger. But I tell all my stories as much as I can. And I have a lot of stories. And there is all the programs from the gallery, for instance. And my designs from 83, it could be done, or 85, it could be done now. It's a perennity of my design, which is for me important to show in this book. Because I've been always taking pictures of my clothes since 82, 83. And she could come today dressed like that and it's okay. You see, it's not dated. I like clothes which are not fashion, in fact. Like we come back to the beginning of the conversation, but it's true. When it's too fashionable, it comes out so quickly. You have to change and it's too bad. Maybe it's because I had very few clothes when I was small, and I almost had always my older sister clothes. So that's why, maybe. So, well, in London, we have our shops where the book is going to be. Maybe it's going to be in different libraries too. I don't know yet. But I'm very proud to show this in London and to British people. I've been working for the months and months on the book in the evenings with the graphic designer. But voila, it's done.
Do you ever have any time to relax and take a break? What do you like to do when you're not making books or making clothes? Or
I'm never bored. I like to cook, I like to be in the garden, I like to read and music and a big family. So I spend a big time with my great-grandchildren. I have 2.5 great-grandchildren, which is enormous. 16 grand is enormous. You have to know everyone. It's crazy, but it's beautiful.
And is it an important part of your legacy to include your family in your company and your brand? How have you dealt with that balance between family and business?
In fact, I always had children and I've been always been working. So I'm used to that. One of my sons is the director. My nephew is an artistic director. Few people of my family are working in the company, because we go on well. That's the only reason. And I think they have talents, and it's great to work with people you love. And I love to be with my team. They are not all from my family, of course, but I like to spend the time with them. We enjoy, in fact. We work in a very cool atmosphere, which is very important for me.
And that's always been the same from when you had your very small boutique in the beginning to an empire now.
The empire, I don't know, no. I don't have 2,000 shops. I have 250 or 280 shops only. But in cities I love Hong Kong, Tokyo and New York, Amsterdam. We have shops in the cities we like. It's not a chain, you know. I'm not McDonald's.
You know, many of the moves that you've made as you've grown the brand have kind of happened in like a serendipitous way. I'm thinking about how you've ended up finding an audience in Japan. Can you tell us about how that actually happened? From what I understand, it was Japanese buyers who found your shop in
Paris.
Yes,
it was one Japanese man decided to do something with us. He came to the shop and he loved everything and he decided to do this. But we stopped this joint venture 10 years ago and now we are only by ourselves. But they are crazy about me in Japan. There, I don't understand. They are crazy. They want to touch me. They want to... I feel like being a star. I'm not like that in France. But in Japan, it's un peu fetishist in a way. But the reason why I think is because of this quality, this... you know, in Japan, they love blue, they love stone, they love water, bamboo, real things, and they recognize something very, very sincere and real in my designs, the materials and the shapes, and they love Agnès B. Now it's a new generation, because young guys, they wear Agnès B. cap. It's a new generation, because we started 30 years ago there, and now young people are crazy about Agnès B., so it's nice. I like it, because I happen to know them better. I have great friends in Japan, too.
And how do you make those decisions? Is it always organic to say, let's move into Japan now, it is the right time?
No, it's always, things happen by chance, by accident, by chance. It's because of this man who had this eye on Agnès B. in 82, 83 that we started. I like natural stories. It's like with the musicians, with the filmmakers. I don't force. I don't like to force. And I'm very lucky with the people I meet. I'm never disappointed. I like it when it's happened, naturally.
And how do you teach or encourage members of your team, you know, your younger designers, to think like that?
Oh, we were listening to the animals. Eric Burdon, oh, c'est trop beau. It's so beautiful. But for instance, listening to the animals together, the house of the rising sun, for instance, it's about, in fact, a jail, but the song is beautiful, and Eric Burdon is great. So we share with younger people things we know from a long time, and they present me new things, so it's a dialogue, and this dialogue is very, feeds me, always. It's always, I meet with them, and we become sort of friends, too. So it's very active, alive, it's very rich life. I'm lucky to have this very, very rich life with exchanges with people.
And is it important for these young people that you're spending time with to, especially in the fashion industry, to think about slowing down a little bit? Because everything seems to run at a million miles an hour in fashion these days.
I don't know fashion again. You know, I've never seen any shows.
In your life?
No. Only Saint Laurent saying goodbye. And one Chanel when I was 14 with my aunt who took me to a Chanel défilé. I never watch fashion, never. It's my way.
Agnès, thank you very much for joining Monocle on The Big Interview today.
Thank you very much, Monocle. À bientôt.
The Big Interview is produced by Guy Lutz and edited by Dia Cesar. Until next time, all that's left to say is goodbye, and thank you very much for listening.